Today, we want to thank Reverend Givens for opening us in our devotions this morning, and welcome. Welcome. We are grateful that the Lord has blessed us to enter into the house of worship once again. I want to call your attention to the passage that we shared with you on last Sunday from John chapter 20, verses 21 through 23. And we've been talking about breathing. And we talked about spiritual breathlessness and need to catch our breath. And this Sunday, we're going to deal with that same passage and give you some things that you need to think about and how you can breathe spiritually. A lot of us are trying to survive on man-made methods rather than relying on the power of God. Amen. So John chapter 20, verses 21 through 23, "Then Jesus said unto them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you again for your kindness. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you, dear God, for allowing your children to come together and to worship you. What a blessing it is to enter into your presence and for you to breathe upon us your holy word and your power and your very presence. I ask, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Help us to discern the truth, that the truth would set us free. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless our time together, that it would be time well spent. Give us the anointing of the Holy Spirit that we might do your work, and Lord, that we might help others. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I do ask that you keep Brother Joe in prayer. His brother, he lost his brother at St. Lucia, and be in prayer for him and his family, and continue to lift up those that are struggling and those who have suffered loss. What does it mean to breathe? Well, what does it mean when you can't breathe? When you think about that in the natural sense, you also have to reflect on what does that mean spiritually? How do we survive? A lot of people are frustrated with life because they can't catch their spiritual breath. They're unable to cope with different situations because they simply, spiritually speaking, cannot breathe. Jesus understood that his disciples faced a very toxic world. As a matter of fact, the Roman world and the spiritual system that existed in Israel had led to the death of Christ. And he rose again. He rose again. Jesus rose over those elements and with all power in his hand. He rose again. We celebrate that as something that happened historically, but what we need to do is celebrate that as a reality of what's happening spiritually. Jesus rose again. So when you read this passage and when you think about the power of God in us, you've got to think about that same power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives within us. The question is, what's going to challenge that? And then not only what's going to challenge that, but how do you and I, as what we would consider humans, live this life now that we have the breath of God flowing through us? And I want to title this Breathe Again, because you've got to catch the breath of God. A lot of us are saying, well, I just need to rest a while. I just need to regain my strength. I just need to recuperate. But if you never catch the breath of God, if you never breathe in what he has given to you, life is only going to hit you again. And you're only going to be breathless again. And you're going to find yourself in a miserable state. And it's kind of like that movie Walking Dead. Well, you want to eat up somebody else in order for you to survive? Isn't that happening in our day? And yet it is God who is the life giver. And we fail to see that when the Lord God Almighty breathed into man the breath of life, man became a living soul. We lost that breath because of sin. But now that Jesus has forgiven us of our sin, we've been called to now live this extraordinary life. You don't need to be just hanging in there. You're called to this abundant life that we have in life, in God, and this abundant life that only Christ can give you. And so with that, God has breathed something into us. And as we shared with you on last Sunday, that was not just for the disciples of that day. When the Bible said he breathed on them, that's referring to us. Now, how did we catch this breath? How did we get what they got? We received it when we heard the word of God. When we heard God's word of truth, because his word is what? It is a living word. And it's not only a living word, but it's a life-giving word that gives us the ability to breathe again. So I want you to do something. We're going to make this animated. I want you to take a deep breath. Yeah, that felt good, didn't it? There are a lot of people that have chronic breathing conditions. And it's very hard for them, very difficult for them to take in that deep breath. You need to appreciate it on the natural sense, but the other thing is you need to appreciate what Christ is doing for you right now. Amen. When he sent the power of the Holy Spirit, that is giving you the ability to breathe no matter what is happening in your life, no matter what is going on. You need to remind yourself, I'm going to breathe again. Now the lungs and the brain are so wired that you don't have to constantly tell yourself, breathe. Your brain has already got it figured out, right? It tells your lungs, it speaks to your lungs, okay, we need to breathe. When you're coming to a hill or you're doing some activity that requires a little strength, your brain tells your lungs, okay, we're going to have to increase this. It's the same way spiritually when you're facing struggles and trials and crises in life. The Holy Spirit is really telling you spiritually, breathe in. Amen. Take this in. Receive this so that you will not get to a situation where you can't go on. Now, how many of you have felt like you couldn't go on? All right? But you were able to go on because God kept you breathing. I want you to get that. I need for you to get that because a lot of us are exhausted in life because we have forgotten the fact that, hey, you're not living this thing by yourself. Amen. Yeah, but I'm going through all these trials. I'm going through all these struggles. I'm facing all this pain. So did Jesus. But remember, when they did the worst thing to him, what did he do? He rose again. Yes. So when you now having and possessing this precious gift from God, it gives you the ability to rise above that situation. Anybody getting this? All right. So that's what we're saying when we're talking about breathing again and breathing in what God has given you. So spirit breathing is what we're really going to focus on. Yet on last week we talked about spiritual breathlessness, being out of breath and relying on human strength to give it back to us. Well, maybe if I just read a little bit more, maybe if I just do this. We're not talking about you getting on some mountain and talking to yourself and doing all that, because as soon as you get off that mountain and come back to your problem, same thing will happen again. Okay? So we're not talking to talking about some exercise in human ability. We're talking about God Almighty, all right, the living God, walking with you, talking with you, and letting you know, hey, you're not by yourself. I am with you. I want to break this down. Everybody with me so far? So when you breathe again, you're talking about the Lord God walking with you through this life. You know, people give the testimony, thank God I'm saved, and they speak about an event that happened. Yeah, you got saved at a particular time. God saved you and you were born again, but now you are growing. Everybody say growing. You are growing in the spirit. And the same way that your child was not able to grow unless they breathed and had certain things to nourish them, you and I can't grow unless we have something that nourishes us. Everybody with me? So when you talk about the spirit breathing, here is God walking with you through these trials in life. So when you face this crisis and it takes your breath away, all right, everybody with me? And it begins to exhaust you. Now you can say, God, I thank you for the breath of God. I thank you for the ability to face this. And I'm going somewhere else with this before we get through the message, because it is not just for you personally. All right. Somebody else is going to get the benefit of you breathing. Hang with me for a little bit. So I want to take you to a valley that God used in the life of Ezekiel. This is what we call one of those metaphors, a spiritual lesson that he wraps up in this. And Ezekiel in the spirit was taken out into this valley called the Valley of Dry Bones. Everybody with me? And the old preacher said, and the bones began to come together. And the foot bone got connected to the leg bone. Can I get a witness here? So now you are familiar with that passage. But let me tell you what was going on in Israel. Because they had been scattered throughout the nations as a result of their rebellion against God, they didn't want to obey God. They worshiped these crazy idols, all right? And God said, I'm going to punish you. And so he scattered them out among the nation. And they were as a valley full of dry bones. The nation was not together. The people that God had raised up and had grew them as a nation, they turned against God, and so God just scattered. They were like a valley of dry bones. And God said to Ezekiel, prophet, come here. I want to show you this. Can these bones live? Ezekiel was overwhelmed when he saw the situation. He knew what it was referring to because he was a prophet. He knew that it referred to his people. And so here's what God said to him, prophesy. I looked that word up, and in the Hebrew, it means to inspire or give inspiration. Are y'all with me? So when he prophesied, the Bible, and the very next verse says, God said, I will cause them to come together. Lord have mercy, isn't that something? And so as he began to prophesy to these bones, they came together under the preaching of his word. Now the question that I began to raise is, why does he need Ezekiel if he's going to do it anyway? Why is he calling Ezekiel into this thing if God said, I'm going to already, he doesn't need us. He doesn't need an amen corner, right? Except for the fact God wants us involved in what he's doing. Amen. Everybody with me so far? In other words, you're not just going to be on the sidelines clapping for your team, and you're not just going to be on the, go, God, go, God, go. No. No, you're going to be in the process of God using you to say something. All right? When people are exhausted, they need someone to inspire them. They're saying, I can't breathe. Will you help me? Amen. All right? And so a lot of us feel like, well, hey, you know, I'm business. Hey, you know, I'm not meddling in somebody else. I'm not going. If he inspires you, if he has breathed on you, and isn't it funny? God sends to you the people that had the same problem you had. You ever notice that? You said, hey, man, that's no coincidence. I had that a couple of weeks ago. I was suffering from the same thing. And now here comes somebody. That's because God wants you to breathe on them. Now, make sure you have good breath. I just thought. But when he began to say this, as a matter of fact, a couple of verses later, God said to Ezekiel, see, all of the bones came together. They got connected, but they still did not have spiritual life. And that was to indicate that unless the word of God is active and moving among us as a mighty force. We can come together all we want to, but we're just going to get scattered again. Amen? And you wonder why sometimes churches get scattered. Did I step in something? You wonder why people get divided. Here's the reason why. You take your eyes off of God's word and you start putting your eyes on, well, I think it ought to be this way. I think it ought to be that way. I think it ought to go this way. I think the choir should sing this way. I think the preacher ought to, he preached too long. Scattered. But when you agree on the fact that God's word is given out and that's where we draw our strength from, amen, that's where we get our power from, that's where the grace of God is poured out upon us, amen, that's what keeps you together. Now, we ain't going to all agree on everything. I like rice, and a lot of y'all, I don't know why, but you ought to realize it's angel food. But I can't convince you. And I'm not going to spend all my time arguing with you about rice. You don't know what you're missing. But we can agree on the fact that God is breathing through his word. God has given us something powerful so that we can not only live, but we can thrive. Amen. Ezekiel's vision is really an admonition to the church that we cannot make it without God's holy word. Let me run through this. Let me just share some things. So when you hear and you receive what Jesus is saying here, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the third person of the Trinity. And the King James says Holy Ghost, but he's not talking about something like Casper, all right? He's talking about a literal person of the Trinity, which is the Holy Spirit. You have the Father, you have the Son, and you have the Holy Spirit. Amen. And here is God the Son, the one who had given us redemption, the one who paid a price that no one else could pay, purchased us. He's now saying, I will not leave you by yourself to walk this life alone. That's good news. Clap your hand to that one. Amen. That's good news. And now why is this? Because you got a long walk home. Anybody from the country here? And people put you out on the tar road and you got to still walk the dirt road. Any country folk can say amen. So when you've got to walk that walk home and it's dark and dreary and it starts to raining or starts to rain, now you've got the Holy Spirit to walk with you. Like my grandma said, he walked with me. He talks with me and he tells me that I am his own. When Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit, he's saying you have a companion. You have one who walks alongside you. In John's Gospel, chapter 14, Jesus calls him the Comforter. The Comforter. He's someone who's there with you so that you'll never have to walk by yourself. And he is God the Spirit. He is the one that leads us and directs us. So here we go with spiritual breathing. First thing is, he gives us peace. And the Hebrew, they call this shalom. You hear people in that greeting that they give one another, shalom, which means peace. But it means a couple of things here. One is rest. Rest. I'm not talking about just laying down and catching a nap. I'm talking about resting. A Sabbath. I thought about this thing. God worked. He said, I worked 6 days, and on the seventh day, I rested. Not because he was tired, but he was giving us a principle. He was giving us a truth that we need to live by. Now, God is eternal. He's almighty. He could have worked 7 days, 14 days, zillions of days. You can't. Isn't that something? Man, I'm preaching to myself. Okay, I'll shine my shoes later. But you can't just, and what is the world telling us? Go, 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 go. And you wonder why when you talk to somebody and they're irritated, they're frustrated, you need to take a break. You need to take a breather. Coming to church is part of that. Take a breather. Take a breather from your problem. Take a breather from your heartache. Take a breather from your struggling with sin. Anybody struggle with sin? Okay. All right. We got perfect folk in here. All right. Y'all. You know the only people that don't struggle with sin are the dead. everybody else that's living and breathing, you know, because the devil is always over there. Hey, look over here, look over here. No, I can't look over there. I can't. And it is tiresome. It'll wear you out. But when you can take a break in Christ, when you can just take a break. He said, preacher, what do you mean take a break? Hear God's word speaking to you and letting you know it's going to be all right. Amen. Just rest a while. Anybody with me? But the second thing that he does in giving us this peace, the second thing he does is that we are fearful. Some of you all are afraid that our country is going to all of a sudden vanish off of the earth, right? It ain't going to happen. And if it does happen, God's got a place for you. Because he said, now, I'm with you. Now, if he's with me and stuff is happening, he's going to make sure that everything. Now, well, preacher, I know some people that they died. Well, guess what? If I die, I'm better off. Because now I get to be in a better place. Anybody know that? Oh, but I don't want to leave this world. Let me tell you something. I lived 65 years, and I'm telling you what, when my exit comes up, I'm not going to complain, because he said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. It's the ones that still here that need to be crying.
Yes. Amen.
Am I preaching to somebody? Amen. So he gives you this peace so that you don't have to face life fearful. What's going to happen next? Am I going to have enough money when I retire? Well, if I don't have enough money, I just go up to Walmart and be a greeter.
Amen.
How you doing? Don't sweat it. Because, well, what if I get sick? Let me get this right now. I got God with me. And either he's going to heal me or help me to make it. Either way, I'm all right. Now, I don't expect to be 100% all my life. You know, I'm not 21 anymore. Neither are you. But as long as you are a good, whatever age you are, you're good. Some of y'all missed it. Okay, all right. Let me go on to something else. All right, second thing is he gives power. I don't want us to think about this power as some physical strength, but I want you to think about it in two terms: a spiritual strength, spiritual energy, and also authority. When Jesus breathed on them, he said, now, this is not for you just to claim on your own. He breathed on them and said, now, receive the Holy Spirit as my Father sent me. All right, did God send Jesus? Yeah, he said, I didn't just come on my own. I was sent. Now, he said, as my Father sent me. All right, look out, y'all. Look out. It's in the contract. Look out, and you signed it. When you said, I want to be a Christian, as my Father sent me, I'm sending you.
Amen.
Wait a minute, preacher. I don't know about all that. Wait a minute. Oh, let me check. Yep, there it is right there. It is in the book. And your name is right beside it. My name is right beside it. So now, how am I to do this? That's the whole point. You don't do it. Why would you need the Holy Spirit and then for you to do it? You do it through the power that he breathed on you. You do it through his ability. That's how God gets the glory. Now, I get this thing twisted sometimes because I think it has to be me. No, God said, I want you to go along with me. I'm the one that's going to do the work. I just need for you to be used, be obedient. Listen as I guide you. I want you involved because I want you to experience something. I want you to experience my power. I want you to know what it's like. How many of y'all ever got into these little gadgets and where you get in a suit? And I think about this, and you can tell I love cartoons and stuff, but this one, Iron Man 3, Iron Man, and he gets into the suit and he can do all this neat stuff. But if you take him out of the suit, he can't do nothing. He got to get in his suit. Now, the Bible says we're clothed in Christ.
Amen.
We're clothed in Christ. That we've taken on something and we have something on the inside of us That rather than us throwing up our hands and saying, we can't do it, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He is constantly breathing into us so that we can walk and live and move and have our being. It's God in you. It's God in you giving you this power. You've got it. I've got it. And what we need to do is to share that with someone else. Then the last thing is God's presence. I'm closing with this. Last thing is God's presence. Why is his presence there with us? You didn't think he was going to turn you loose with all this stuff, right? It's like giving somebody, you know, a suitcase of money, like a two-year-old, give them a suitcase of money and turn them, money and turn them loose in a candy store. Really? You think that's how it works? No, no. All of this is God-directed. Jesus said in Matthew, the last message that he had given the church as far as sending them out, he said, now, lo, I'm with you. All power is given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then he says, lo, I am with you. How long?
Always.
Always. Always. I wish someone had gone to Job and whispered to Job, Job, he's not that far away. Job thought, I'm in this by myself. Where is God? God's everywhere. You don't have to search for him in the night. He'll be that still, small voice that speaks to you. When you're in the crisis of the day where the heat of the problem is beginning to press on your shoulder, you don't have to look for God.
Amen.
He's right there with you. When you're facing those toils and those heartaches and those pains, you don't have to search for him. Where are you, God? He said, here I am.
Amen.
I'm in the midst of you.
Thank you.
I promised you. I made you a covenant.
Yes.
That I would never leave you nor forsake you. Ladies and gentlemen, that's God Almighty.
Yes. Yes.
What blows my mind is this. Why in the world would an almighty God want to spend all that time with someone like you and me? Somebody tried to answer it. Well, he saw something good in me. Wrong. Now, he's going to put something good in you. But he saw nothing of value. But here's what happened. Here's what happened. An artist can look at a rock, or he can look at a piece of marble and see a masterpiece. Are y'all in the house? He can look at, everybody else will look at it, and yeah, it's a rock. And that's all it is. But when God looks at us, he sees a masterpiece. Let me work on you. Let me put some of my goodness in you. Let me put my anointing on you. Let me give you my word. And that'll transform you so that now it's not what you had, but it's what you got.
Amen.
Anybody in the house?
Amen.
It's not what you possessed, but now who you are in Christ Jesus. And what God did while you were in your sin, as the young, I guess they still said, toe up from the floor. Y'all still use it? They got another one now. I know, turned up, all right? So while you were turned up, God set his love on you. And it blows my mind every time I think about it. Yet he loved us without measure because he saw what he was going to do not only for us, but through us. And if you got it, you got it. If you know it, you know it. You can breathe because the Lord God Almighty has commanded you and me to breathe again.
Amen.
God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your kindness, your love, and your goodness. We're praying that you would keep us breathing. Be in us, Lord, and do in us and through us what we could not do for ourselves. Help us to not rely on our own strength, but to allow you supernaturally to do great things and to accomplish great things for your glory and for your kingdom. I love you so much today, God, but I realize it's just a response of you loving me first. So thank you for that. I pray for that person that is not in a relationship with you, that does not know you and will not acknowledge you. I pray that they would, Lord, be brokenhearted before you and confess that you are Lord and that you are God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to extend the invitation. If there be one today, if you're without Christ, without hope in this present world, maybe you're not a member of a church and you'd like to be a part of our church family, we'd love to have you. I'm going to ask that everyone stand as the invitation is given.